Good morning. Welcome to a new day before the snow comes again, right? This is the day the Lord has made. And certainly we praise God for the miracle of life and the miracle of each day that He provides for us. And what a wonderful blessing we can gather as our family of Trinity here to worship again today. And a special welcome to guests and visitors that we have with us today as well. By the way, that's a reminder, at the left end of each pew in front of you, we have our friendship or fellowship pad. We'd invite everybody to sign in. Let us know that you're here worshiping with us this morning. A number of things going on this week. Number one, we have a young lady just turning 104 this week. So Christine Dick, her birthday is on the 28th, which is that Friday, I believe? Friday. And on page 5 in your bulletins, there's a little article at the bottom of the page. There's not going to be an official open house for Christine's birthday celebration, but certainly card shower. And if you would like to stop by and see Christine, there's information to give Vicki a call and let her know you're coming and all of that. But Christine loves to visit. She'd love to have you stop by. So if you have opportunity to do so. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday already, so the season of Lent will officially begin. Services at 10 o'clock in the morning, 7 in the evening. There will be a luncheon after the morning service, and then an early dinner before the late service that evening, beginning at 5:30. And there is a sign-up sheet, and Peggy, kind of overseeing the morning luncheon, Peggy Peters, said that she could use one more soup, if somebody could bring a soup on Wednesday. So the sign-up sheet, Narthex Lounge, West Wall, if folks would let her know. Let's see. Then next Sunday, between services, if you're interested, Lindy and I, that's when we're going to offer a presentation from our travels to Jordan and Israel. And we invite and encourage everybody to come and join us and pray for us. I'm trying to work with all this PowerPoint stuff. Not something I do every day. So, but we have a lot of pictures to share and some interesting stories to tell. So we'd love to have you come if you are able. Angela.
Good morning.
Good morning.
If you like the rolls and the yummy butter that is out in the Narthex between services, you are in for a treat because this month's Cook's Night Out is at Texas Roadhouse. So you can go and have as many of those rolls as you would like this Tuesday, the 25th at Texas Roadhouse. If you bring this flyer, which they are all located outside as you exit to the right on that table, the school will get 10% back of our sales. So we always look forward to seeing each other there and enjoying some fellowship and not having to cook as well. So Texas Roadhouse this Tuesday, they are not open for lunch on Tuesdays. They open at 4 o'clock. So it's just for dinner, but this Tuesday at Texas Roadhouse. Then the other thing, we are trying to get together a choir for special music for Easter Sunday. So if you would be interested in that, let me know. And potentially we might also have instrumentation if we can find instruments, people who play instruments, such as the trumpet, trombone, and flute. So if that interests you as well, come speak with me and we'll get things rolling. So thank you. That's what I have.
How exciting. Easter will be here before we know it. Well, this morning as we worship, we're following Divine Setting 4, page 203, if you want to follow in the hymn books. Otherwise, as usual, everything will be presented on the screen. And we begin with the opening hymn.
Thank you.
And on this Transfiguration Sunday, as always, we are blessed by God's grace to gather in His name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. And since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon Him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And we just take a moment in silence for personal reflection and confession. And publicly we confess together, Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. And the good news, Almighty God in His mercy has given His Son to die for you and for His sake forgives you all your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our responsive psalm for this Transfiguration Sunday is Psalm number 2, beginning at verse 6. As for me, I have set my king
on Zion, my holy hill.
I will tell of the decree.
The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you.
Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage. You shall break them with a rod of iron,
and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.
Now therefore, O kings, be wise.
Be warned, O rulers of the earth.
Serve the Lord with fear,
and rejoice with trembling.
Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and you perish in the way, for His wrath is quickly kindled.
Blessed are all who take refuge.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Good will from God in heaven.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the transfiguration of your Son, you have shined grace and glory upon the world. And by your own testimony, we hear that Jesus is indeed your beloved Son. Help us to heed your voice and bask in the light of your grace. Through Jesus Christ, our transfigured Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated now as we continue with our scripture readings for today.
The Old Testament lesson for this Transfiguration Sunday comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 24, beginning at verse 8. And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet as it were a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay hands on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, that I may give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him go to them." Then Moses went up to the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God. The epistle letter comes from Peter's second letter, chapter 1, beginning at verse 16. "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made it known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Transfiguration. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. And this is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We are honored now to make confession of our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And you may be seated now as we continue with our sermon hymn.
Thank you.
And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what an incredible historical event in the history of the church, in the history of our Lord's ministry, as he went up on that mountain with Peter, James, and John, and there before them was transfigured. Jesus revealed the glory, his divine nature in their very presence. And what an experience that must have been. And then that voice that spoke from heaven. Can you imagine? Have you ever thought what that voice sounds like? What the voice of God sounds like? This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Wow. Well, it's praise God that he's preserved this account for us, that through his written word that is absolutely trustworthy, that we can be brought into this historical event. And we know it well. We've heard of this account many times over. But the question that is so important this morning, I believe, for us to consider is this one: are we listening? Are we listening to the voice of God? You know, you remember that old commercial, E.F. Hutton, and we have a video blip this morning just as a reminder of how this commercial used to go. And if we can pull that up.
Great shot, Tom. That should do it for you.
Thank you.
What are you going to do with all those winnings?
Well, my broker's E.F. Hutton, and E.F. Hutton says,
remember those? Now, I'm not promoting E.F. Hutton, by the way, but to me, that is just an incredible visual. You know, when E.F. Hutton speaks, and instantly, everybody is locked in. Think if it would be that way in the world when God speaks. Well, we can't control the world, right? But we have our own individual lives, and certainly by the grace of God and the Spirit dwelling within us, we are empowered to do that very thing always, to be locked in to God's word and to listen when God speaks. And you know, there's a lot of communication that goes on in the world today, and certainly we have more means today, perhaps, than ever in the history of the world, of being able to lock in and to listen to virtually anything that is being offered out there in the world. But unlike all the anythings that the world offers through its communication, God's word is very distinctively different, because it is absolute truth. God, when he speaks, what he speaks is absolutely trustworthy, and he himself is absolutely trustworthy. So it's pretty important, wouldn't you say, that we would indeed be locked in, that we would listen in the sense of that visual whenever God speaks, whenever we open the Bible, whenever we begin to read? Well, it's interesting what God spoke, isn't it, on the Mount of Transfiguration? Because right away we think about, now this is towards the end of Jesus' public ministry, visually in the flesh. It isn't going to be too far down the road now that Palm Sunday comes and Jesus enters into Jerusalem that final time and makes his journey to the cross. But about three years prior to this, remember when Jesus entered into his public ministry and commanded John the Baptist to baptize him? And when Jesus was baptized, we once again, the first time actually, hear this voice speak from heaven. The very same words: "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And now some 3 years later on the Mount of Transfiguration, again the voice of God speaks, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased," and God says, "Listen to him." And then did you hear it in the epistle reading this morning from 2 Peter chapter 1? Peter reflects back on this. After all, he was one of those who was blessed to be with the Lord when this event transpired. And I just kind of broke this passage down. We heard it read a few moments ago, but just consider what Peter expresses in his epistle. First of all, he affirms that we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And he's speaking of Jesus. We were there, Peter says. We saw it firsthand. We saw it with our own eyes. We were eyewitnesses of this event. And he goes on to emphasize this isn't some kind of myth or tale or made up story, but we were eyewitnesses. We were there. We experienced this incredible event. And then Peter again repeats what was spoken by God from heaven, the very same words we see again. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Think about the significance of those words. We're going to consider that in a moment. But then Peter goes on to say, we ourselves heard this very voice from heaven. Do you think Peter wants us to know without doubt he was actually there? That he heard and experienced this. Boy, talk about the emphasis that he gives. But then in light of all that, he says the most incredible thing. We have something more sure, the prophetic word. The prophetic word. Remember during this time of Peter writing this epistle, the word of God that most understood was the Old Testament that they had had for a long time in written form in their hands, the scrolls. They could study it, they could read it, and we have something more sure, the prophetic word. And then, even for more emphasis, Peter makes this statement in verse 21, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And so Peter affirming to us again, of course it's God through Peter, it's God's word, it's his inspiring word, and God through the Apostle Peter confirms to us that the gospel is absolute truth. You know, at this time, the credibility of the gospel being questioned by many. This was fresh, this was new. And yet here we see God bringing it all together, that this gospel message the apostles have been proclaiming and preaching, that this gospel message is supported and the foundation of it is in God's testimony from heaven. Because what's the center of the gospel but Jesus Christ and who Jesus is? And God declares, this man, Jesus Christ, he is my beloved Son. And by the way, I am well pleased with him. God's favor was on his own Son. And if that isn't enough, then God goes on to say that the testimony of his written word, the Old Testament, confirms what has happened through the gift of Jesus Christ to the world. Isn't it beautiful how God brings this all together for us this morning? And hitting it right at the center point of where, even still today, the greatest question about Jesus Christ is he really the Son of God? Is he really God himself? That's one of the greatest challenges we have when we go out and witness the gospel with others. Most will say, oh yeah, we believe he was a historical person, but you're going a little too far when you claim that this human being was actually God in the flesh on earth. And God, through this incredible testimony, says, no, that's not going too far. That's exactly who Jesus is. And so God gives us this absolute confirmation of his truth, the entire scriptures, as we are blessed to have them. And that's how God primarily speaks to you and me, is through the written word of God, the inerrant word of God, the Holy Bible. And so the question, though, then becomes, when God speaks, are we listening? And, you know, only you can answer that for yourself personally. Only I can answer that for myself personally. But think about what Peter proclaims in verse 19 of our text. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, which you would do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place. You know, when you're in a dark place, is a lamp kind of important? Have you ever gone on a tour of a cave? I think that's the greatest darkness that I've ever experienced, is when you're down in a cave. Anybody, raise your hand if you've had that experience. Okay, almost everybody in the room. And do they generally turn the lights out? Did they do that when you were in the cave? Isn't that something? I mean, you can have your hand here and you can't see your hand. It is that dark. Now, I wonder if the guide said, oh, man, we can't get the lights to come on. That'd be downright terrifying, wouldn't it? And how refreshing and comforting when the light comes back on and we can easily then find our way. Well, that's what the Word of God provides for us in a very dark, evil, corrupted, confused, sin-broken world. It's the light. It's a lamp. God, through His Word, is clearly showing us the way, and we don't have to question whether it's the way, because His way is absolute. It will never disappoint. It will never deceive. God's Word is absolute truth. So the weakness isn't in the Word, but the weakness is with you and me. And the question again, are we listening? And then another thing is, are we sharing? Because in essence, that's why we are here, right? That's the primary purpose. Everybody's asking, well, why am I here? What's my purpose in life on this earth? The greatest purpose you and I have as God's children is to share this truth so that others can hear and that they can be brought into this incredible kingdom of grace, into God's church, into His family, into His blessings, into the security of everlasting life. And so we are called to be bearers of the truth, and primarily for the sake of those who still do not know, who have rejected it in the past. We could not have a more honorable position in life. And really, in essence, what has God called us to share and proclaim? Number one, that Jesus Christ is exclusively, underline exclusively, the Savior of the world. Now go out and share that message out in the city gate and see if you have any confrontation. And I guarantee you will, because that's exactly where Satan attacks the hardest. You know, next Sunday, I believe, we'll be looking, I'm not sure, at the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness. That's coming up soon. But remember what Satan tempted Jesus with over and over again? If you are the Son of God. Now, Satan knows who Jesus is. There's no doubt. In Scripture, it reveals in the book of James that, you know, Satan and the fallen angels know who Jesus is. And yet Satan trying to disrupt the plan of salvation with that question. You think of all the other questions he could have approached Jesus with, or statements. But it's this one. If you are the Son of God. Well, what did God declare at Jesus' baptism? What did he declare at Jesus' transfiguration? This is my beloved Son. God wants us to never miss the point, because it is the life-giving and sustaining point that Jesus isn't merely man. He is also fully God. And that's where Satan attacks the hardest and where he tries to deceive. Another is God's moral law. And so we heard in the Old Testament, Moses goes up on Mount Sinai by God's command. God gives him the commandments on the tablets. Remember the first time around when Moses came back down? Was everybody excited? Yes, yes, here's Moses. He's got God's law. We want to listen to it. We want to submit to it. Remember what they were doing? They were worshiping a golden calf. Because they thought Moses was, it took way too long. They got impatient. And so they made their own God. And remember, God through Moses breaks the tablets. They had totally broken the law. And you think about it today, the Ten Commandments, boy, that's almost like a statement of evil in many places today. Can't have that in a public place, right? Can't have that in a courtroom. And we see the same mentality in the world today. And it doesn't matter, though, because this is God's standard of morality. And it's not going away. It's not going to change. You can try to hide it from the public, but the word stands. And you and I are called to uphold this incredible standard. How are we doing at that, by the way? We fall short, don't we? Every day. We cannot possibly fulfill the Ten Commandments perfectly. But that is what we are called to demonstrate, to have that desire and strive for it. And then, of course, foundational to all of this is God's agape love, right? Sacrificial love. That love that Jesus carried with him to the cross. It's why he went there, out of obedience to his Father and out of love. Agape love for you and me and the world. And so Jesus says, doesn't he, love one another as I have loved you. Do you ever think about how greatly you're loved by God? Remember the gospel reading last week? If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your right hand causes you to, you know, sin, what are you supposed to do? Whack it off? How would we look coming to worship? We wouldn't even be able to come, because what happens? We pluck our right eye out, and then we're going to sin with our left eye, right? We're not going to learn. We're going to still sin. And then we don't have any eyes. We whack off our left hand, because after whacking off, I mean, pretty soon, our body would be totally annihilated. There wouldn't be anything left. But isn't that what Jesus did at the cross? He allowed that to be done to him, as his life was taken away for all of our sin. And that, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is the greatest message that we have to share. But it comes down to that question, do we listen? And does God really speak through us? And again, that's an individual question. For me, as you ask yourself, yeah, when I'm out in doing life as I do every day, do people see the presence of God in me? Do they hear God's voice through me? Do they see God's truth being promoted and demonstrated in my life? Boy, those are serious questions, aren't they? And it's in the midst of Satan deception. Did God really say? If the word can be demolished, if the word can be put into question, if the word's authority can be questionable, then we really have nothing to stand on, do we? It shouldn't surprise us. Of all the things the voice from heaven could say, is this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. By the way, Jesus at the cross met all the demands of the law prior even to the cross, as he fulfilled the law perfectly. And he had God's favor always because of that. And guess what? Through faith, we receive that favor. When we were baptized, we were clothed with Christ. Being clothed with Christ, we were clothed with his favor. And God looks upon you and me as a child of faith, saint and sinner, but he sees his son's clothing, and he is pleased with you and me as a result of that. That's the message that needs to be spoken, even in light of, did God really say? And we can say absolutely yes, he did. And the message is clear. The victory is won through his son. Isn't that cool? The victory is won through his son. Only the son could win that victory over sin and Satan and death. And not going in the mode, did God really say? But we say absolutely. It's in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. There is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That's the reality. That's the absolute. And you and I are blessed to live in the blessings of this reality, but most of the world remains separated. Only the Son could perfectly please our Heavenly Father. And isn't it wonderful we receive that blessing in this sanctuary many times over? The favor of God being bestowed upon us and the Aaronic blessing. And so we know where we stand by God's grace. But the question is, what do we do with that? Well, we have a united purpose, don't we? Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's a dark world out there. And the church, the population of believers in this country seems to be on a great decline. Who's going to tell them? Who's going to tell somebody here in Greeley or out at Briggsdale or Windsor or the whole surrounding area? Who's going to demonstrate this truth? Wow, look at this room. This is quite a force that we have among us and united in this incredible faith. And you know how it's not complicated. It's simply living in accordance to the people God has called us to be. And you know, I think one of the greatest testimonies you and I can give is the security that you and I live in. Because I see a lot of insecure people. If you watch the debate the other night among the Democratic Party, I mean, they're talking about in 7 years the world's over with global warming. And there's people that believe that. And they're terrified. And they see us and it's like, aren't you worried? No. I remember sitting on our porch years ago, early 2000s, extreme drought. And back when I got a newspaper, the Denver Post. And it was like September and it was all gloom and doom, the worst drought ever. It'll take years to fill those lakes, the reservoirs up in the mountain. And I kid you not, I just broke out laughing. And I said, God could do this in a winter if he wants to. And guess what? That winter he actually did. It was like 110% snowpack. All the reservoirs were full. And I think we even had flooding issues the next spring. But you see, that's who we are as God's people. Yes, we want to be good stewards, but we recognize God is the one in control. And we're secure in that. And of course, to share the word verbally. God's word does not return void. When E.F. Hutton speaks, I love that visual. I hope we can just see the visual. Wouldn't it be cool to be out in the public square and you share the word of God and suddenly everybody stops? Well, fill in the blank for your personal life. When God speaks, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord, who, contrary to what the world believes, is exclusively the Savior of the world. Amen. And I would invite the congregation to stand for prayer. And let us pray. Oh, dear Lord God, it's just incredible that you hear our prayers and that you respond to them in accordance to your gracious will. And Lord, that you reveal your power time and time again. And we've seen it right here among our family of Trinity, the miracles that you have worked among us. But Lord, the greatest miracle is the miracle of faith, that you have called us individually by name into your kingdom. And Lord, that in this room, we are a united force for the world as we go forth and simply live in accordance to the faith that you have called us into. Lord, our hearts go out to those who remain separated from you, some by absolute rebellion against you, others by confusion as to who you even are, and others somewhere in between. But Lord, may we reach them all. May we use every opportunity you provide. And times when we don't even recognize that we're witnessing to someone around us. Maybe it's just a smile. Maybe it's that joy that they can just see in our demeanor. And maybe it's that sense of security as we live life each day. And that's a very attractive thing, especially in these times. But Lord, we pray that you working through us, that many more would come into the joy of salvation and the security that you provide now and for eternity. Lord, we thank you for the honor. May we always be in tune, locked into your voice, in your word every day, that we may grow and mature ourselves, that we may more effectively witness to those separated from you. O Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for our nation and the nations of the world. And as we were blessed to hear from your word in the Psalms this morning, we pray, Lord, that all kings, all leaders, all people in positions of authority would submit to you and acknowledge you as being the one true, almighty, living God and humbly seeking your will. O Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we hold up to you all of the names listed in the bulletin this morning, and we never can go into all the details of every one of these, but Lord, each one of these is your precious children, and Lord, you know fully, you are familiar with all of their ways, and may that bring comfort to us as well. And we plead your intervention and your miracles of healing and comfort and peace and deliverance from the turmoil that these individuals and many others that weigh heavy on our hearts and minds go through this day. Lord, we especially pray for Elaine and Vernie Daubert as they have to make decisions about Vernie's care. Guide them in that. Be with Dick and Jerry Bites, with Jerry now under hospice care. Lord, comfort them. Lord, we thank you for the continual good news with Cody Schmidt, 3 years old, battling cancer. And we just pray, Lord, that things will continue to improve in his life. And Lord, for Jacob McKevitt, we prayed for Jacob, had a couple of brain surgeries to overcome events going on in his life. And Lord, now the seizures are back again. And that was so frustrating, I'm sure, and disheartening. And we just pray, Lord, your intervention and your words of wisdom of how to approach Jacob's issue now. Lord, we thank you for Kathy Winsheimer and for the success of her surgery, and we pray for a quick recovery. For Karen Rutt, who's going to be facing surgery here in the near future. Lord, you know all of these, and we just pray your intervention and your will to be accomplished among them as well as us. Oh, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we thank you for the blessings you bestow upon Dale and Roxanne Schlickemeyer, celebrating another year of life together as one on this earth. Continue to bless them, Lord. And for Christine Dick, 104 years old on Friday. Lord, we thank you for the blessings you give to Christine. And be with her on her special day, as we know you are. And Lord, we just thank you for the incredible life you have granted to her and still grant. Oh, Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we pray for Lori Freeman, who is a cousin of Janice and Linda Harms, as Lori has discovered that she also has breast cancer. Lord, be with Lori and all of her family and friends that go on this journey with her, and we pray your miracles of healing in her life. Oh, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for Bethesda Ministries and the details in the bulletin this morning, but Lord, we pray that you would bless this mission as it continues to be dedicated to helping those whom they support to become active members of their community so that they can live their lives to the fullest. Be with Sue Hart, who is our regional ministry leader. Oh, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we ask your blessings upon this week, upon the upcoming Lenten season, and all of the additional worship services we have opportunity to be a part of. Lord, through all of this, may we continue to grow in our understanding of you and our faith. May it continue to mature among us, O Lord, in your mercy. We ask all of this, Lord, in your precious name, rejoicing in your unconditional and everlasting, unchanging love for us and for the world. In your name, Lord, we pray and ask your will to be done among us. Amen. May be seated. And if you are able, I invite the congregation to stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, Lord, God of Sabaoth, the Lord, heaven and earth with full acclaim, shout the glory of your name, sing Hosanna in the highest, sing Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. O blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that comes to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, after he had supped, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Jesus Christ, true Lamb of God, you take the sin of the world away. Oh, Jesus Christ, true Lamb. Welcome to the Lord's table. And Brian, take and eat. And Ken, take and eat. Larry, take and eat. This is the true body of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into And let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. Go in God's peace and serve the Lord. Amen.